17 of your Pew Bible. And we're reading verses 35 to 38. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And the second reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 1188. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.
Let's, can you see that? Our scripture that we can read together. Let's read that. You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. What a wonderful verse. So, the theme of our service today is serving together in this our centennial year. Serving God together. And I've been looking forward to this moment for some time, been planning for it since October-ish, even earlier in the year. Did anyone here enjoy their holidays over the summer? Oh, one or two hands didn't go up. Oh, we feel so sorry for you. But I've been looking forward to this day now that all the holidays are behind us. If we could have more holidays, that would be wonderful. But and some of you took advantage of Waitangi Day last weekend, the last long weekend of the summer where you can get away. And I've been waiting for this day when we're back together as a church so that I can officially launch our centennial year and begin to think about what it is that we have been a church in this place for 100 years. Now, our Epsom part of the community, they had a centennial a few years ago. So they had practice at this. And now that we're all together as one church in Greyfriars, they have the wonderful opportunity of celebrating another one. The church I was with in Nelson while I was serving there as minister, they had their centennial. And so I've had a bit of practice to get ready for centennial years and launching out into them, the things that we do together. So today is a significant day, officially saying, this is it. This is our centennial year. It's significant because we have our congregational meeting at 12 o'clock and we look at decisions regarding a second minister and consider issues with our buildings. But in this service, what I want us to do is to focus on the serving together, the people of God, the people of God as we serve together. So primarily thinking about the people of the church. So it's not often that I have the opportunity to be able to preach with a 100-year horizon, looking to the past and looking to the future. And this is a wonderful place to be in, to have the privilege of standing here and launching the next 100 years of life in Greyfriars Presbyterian Church. The Bible helps to put our 100 years into perspective. And so we read in the scriptures, "You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation." Oh, I should say about the slide. You'll recognize the slide, don't you? The building that's in the slide. That's Greyfriars Church before the spire and before the bit built out this way and before the bit built out that way. So I don't know when that photo is from, but it's from sometime in Greyfriars Church history. But the Bible puts this into perspective for us. Speaking of God, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. And also saying, God, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures through all generations. And so this is really wonderful to me, that we get to be part of God's sovereign plan. That God, who is eternal, the Alpha and Omega, that God who planted this church 100 years ago, that God who has done many things prior to that, and God who will continue to lead us and will continue to do marvelous things, this God, the God of the ages, calls you and I, calls us together as a church. Now, each of us only play a small part, but it's important. And in terms of eternity, the 100 years of Greyfriars may seem to be a short time of span of time. And yet Greyfriars plays an important part in God's role to save and redeem people. We are here today because God the Father sent Jesus into our world. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus. Jesus who lived for us. Jesus who died for us. Jesus who rose from the dead. Jesus who ascended into heaven. Jesus who will come again. This King, King of kings, King of glory, Lord of lords. Because of our precious Lord Jesus, we can come and we can gather together in His name. And we can give honor, praise to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's Jesus who links generations of Christians together. We acknowledge that we are here because of Jesus, not just true in this moment, but it was true for those who first established Greyfriars 100 years ago. And it links us with them and all those who have lived and been part of this church since. And it links us with those who will in the future be part of our church. This is the saving power of God in Christ that unites us all together. And it's because of Jesus we can come. People who have been redeemed and forgiven, made to be God's children. We know Him. We love Him dearly in our hearts. He has given us new life. We delight to have His praise on our lips. And this centennial is only possible because of Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the inspiration for all that we do. And so as we start out in this centennial year, we put Christ to the front. Christ at the head. And we acknowledge who He is and what He has done for us. And today we focus in a little bit more finely, particularly to think of His people in this place. You see, people, including us, all people are precious to God. Precious to God by virtue of creation. He made us precious because Jesus came and died for us and rose again. precious because the Holy Spirit at Pentecost breathed life into the church. So Father and Son and Holy Spirit have put people at the center of salvation history. God created us for a relationship with Himself. God redeemed us for that relationship with Himself. God will call us when the trumpet sounds and we shall rise to be with Him, so we may spend eternity in His presence. He has given us great value by virtue of creation and redemption and the recreation that is to come. Now, humanity often fails to see the value of people. Fails to value human life. We see this in our news headlines, tragedies, terrible things that happen. God constantly reveals how much He loves us, how much He values us. His desire for us is such that He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for us. God cared about Adam and Eve right at the beginning of creation, and even though they sinned, He clothed them and sent them out so that they would have a covering from Him. God befriended Abraham and his family. God called to Moses to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. God sent prophets to tell the people about Him and to draw them back. God, by sending Jesus, invested time in the apostles and the disciples so that by walking with Jesus, hearing what He said, that they would have a gospel that they're able to pass on to other generations. And other generations received it and passed it on, until in our day, we have received it and can pass it on to others. This is the Jesus Christ, of whom the Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. This unchanging God who spoke to Abraham, who spoke to Moses, who spoke through the prophets, who spoke through the apostles, has spoken to you and called you to be His, invited you to be part of His family, and to become with Christ, with the members of His family, heirs to all that Jesus has. And revealing our value, we find this newfound status as God spoke through Peter to tell us about this. You are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. You are priests. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. This is who you are. You have status. You have been made to be something that you could not have claimed on your own, but Jesus has gifted and placed in your heart. And to me, this is marvelous. God has done so much for us. I'm sure it's marvelous to you as you think about it and let it soak into your heart and into your life that God has done this for you. Here's another marvelous truth. You have never set eyes on a person that God does not love. When you look in a mirror, you see a person God loves. When you see people, pedestrians walking down the street, you see people God loves. Even if you stand in the busiest corner in Queen Street with buses and taxis and people walking by, look at each one. God loves them all. You can't find one among them that God does not love. Now, if you are fortunate enough to have two tickets for the Cricket World Cup and you want me to go with you, if you're fortunate enough to be able to sit in Eden Park and there are thousands of people there, from all sorts of cultures, and they come together, and you've got a moment to take your eyes off the cricket, look at their faces. You will see people that God loves, every one of them. Even if one of our cricketers is out for a duck, God still loves that person. This year, we celebrate that love, and we have opportunity to be together. And to know that God loves all sorts of people. God has planted our church smack in the middle of New Zealand's biggest city with thousands of people living around us and thousands of people driving up and down that Mount Eden Road every day past our church. and thousands of people coming here to watch rugby and cricket and other great events, and thousands of people who are immigrating into our city and who are settling around us, and God loves them all, and God has planted Greyfriars Church in the heart of Mount Eden so that we can witness to his love and help them to come to know him, so that we can be part of reaching out. How marvelous it is that people flock here and we have this opportunity to meet them and to reach out to them. So God has been at work in our church, has been at work in Greyfriars Church for a century, for 100 years. And as I reflected on this, and I wrote about this in the Messenger, I wonder how many baptisms, how many weddings, how many funerals have there been in this church? How many songs of praise to God have been sung in the church? How many musicians and choirs have offered gifts of music and song to God? I wonder how many times the Bible has been read out loud. How many people have stood to read the Bible and share the scriptures with those who have gathered? And how many sermons have been preached in this church? And I wonder, what is the most inspiring message in that 100 years that has ever been preached? Now, earlier this week, a parishioner came into the office with a tape of a former minister, John Evans, and on that tape was his sermon from the 22nd of April, 1990, and she sat and she listened to it. And this is a testimony to his preaching, and a testimony to what Dr. Evans was able to share, that a person would listen to one of his sermons 25 years later. Please, 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 in 25 years, listen to one of my sermons. You know, isn't it just so inspiring that someone would have a sermon from all that time ago and would listen to it? And because it was turned up loud, I listened to it. And it spoke about the disciples who were fearful and in this locked room, and how Jesus comes and stands among them and says to them, go out and share the good news. And this is what has been being preached in this church year upon year, decade upon decade. And now we can say for a century of faithful preaching in this church. And I wonder how many people, as the Word of God has been read or preached, have felt in their hearts and their souls, God is speaking to me. And I wonder how many people have come to faith in this church, and how many people have made commitments to follow him. How many people have come forward when the opportunity has been given to them for prayer. And I wonder how many people have been served by our church, and how far around that our world God has taken and used gifts and people from our church, our gifts and our offerings. And I wonder whose life was touched the most by a gift from our church in that 100 years, and what difference it made to them. And I wonder what might stand out as the most mischievous moment in the history of youth groups, because youth groups have those times. And how many children have attended our Sunday school? And I imagine some of the saddest times were in World War I, when this church was being established. And I find it hard to imagine that in the middle of this terrible, terrible war, people would say, let's form a church. Let's build a church. And I'm sure there were some voices that were saying, no, let's wait till the war is over. Let's see what happens first. But they, in faith, stepped out. And perhaps some of the sad times in World War II. And I wonder, in these tragedies and other wars, how many families were touched by the loss of life. In recent times, Vietnam, Korea, how many people were touched by the sad loss of life. And I wonder how many people came to find comfort in the church. And I wonder how many people have sat with their arms around someone, speaking words of comfort. And how many souls have just been there with silent, trembling prayer, pouring out their troubles to God. And I wonder, when was the most joyous moment in the church? Or when was the most troublesome or vexing problem in the church? Now, I don't have answers to these questions, but I know that God sees them and knows them, because God has been here all through those 100 years. In the difficult times, in the joyous times, in the times when everything just seemed to be going well, in the meetings, in the times together, in the discussions, God has been there in all of them. Just as he did then, now in our day, God focuses his love and grace and mercy on people. People like you and people like me. This is why I think our church mission statement is so, so good. It's to help people know and follow Jesus. This is what God does. God helps people to know and follow Jesus. And whenever we do this, we're cooperating with God and fulfilling His will. When we do this mission, we do it in a variety of ways. And so I began this service asking people to come forward who've got some leadership, had some input, do some of these ministries that are part of the church. And I did this because people matter to God. And each one who stood here has been inspired to labor in God's kingdom and to do the good work of helping others to follow Jesus. And I wanted us all to see how many people God has inspired to contribute to the life of the church in this past year and in the year that's coming. And some people who are standing here are part of several different ministries. People who love God, who serve God, who are at the heart of the life of our church. Now, if I had asked this 10 or 20 years ago, there would have been a different group of people here. And perhaps some of you who now are not so actively involved would have stood then. People who had been leading in our church, and you put your heart, you put your soul into helping this church. And even now you spend time praying for us, although you're not able to be so active. And some people in a season of life, perhaps your family is young, and you're not able to give the time that you would love to give to the church. But perhaps in another 3 or 4 years, as things change, then you would be standing here also. So many people who could be a part of this. You know, a high percentage of our members are involved in the work of the church. Sometimes we wonder, how many people are involved? You know, there used to be, like in the olden days, 20 years ago, people would say, would be stressing, you know, it's not just the minister who ministers, we need other people to be ministering. And I think that the people standing here today really spoke to how that has grown and how many people are involved in ministry. And I just think it's so wonderful. I'm deeply, deeply encouraged by seeing that. And I wish this was a combined service so that we could have had all the people who were at the Epsom service standing as well. Now, I forgot to count, but I think there would have been at least 25, 30 people maybe standing there. And if we add them to the people standing here, the people in our church who are involved in the life of our church, it's amazing. It's wonderful that so many people are actively involved. Our God is good to us, giving us people with such wonderful gifts. Now imagine if everyone who had served here from the 100 years we're talking about had been able to come and stand. Every Sunday school teacher, every musician, every office bearer, every youth leader, everyone who cleaned the buildings or mowed the lawns, everyone who went on overseas mission from our church. What a wonderful crowd we would have here. The faithful servants of God who were putting their time. What a wonderful company of faithful people we would have. And the people who were here today are representative of them all and representative of those to come. The body of Christ, the arms, the legs, the ears, the eyes, those who were up front were the hands and the feet who are getting involved in the life of the church. And because the Holy Spirit has inspired us, we have been able to achieve so much in His kingdom. Now you'll find in your bulletin a list of highlights. And I printed those in there so you remember what we did last year. And the people who were standing up front today and others worked hard to make them happen. And when you read about them, you'll see there's ministry to old and young. And that in there are times of equipping and times of service. There are ministries of small groups and there are times when we were all together. Now imagine if we were able to make a list like this for 100 years. I think in each of those years we could find easily 50 wonderful things to celebrate. So we would have 5,000 things to think about. If all the works of the Associated Presbyterian Women were listed through all those years, the collections of food, the knitting, the meals that were made for others, the mission funds that were sent overseas. Imagine if all the old Bible class movement was listed, the events for young people, the camps, the trips, and the adventures that they went on. Imagine all the fairs and all the spring cleans and all the working bees. Imagine all that life of the church. If we were to bring that together, so much that we would be able to celebrate. And in reality, most of the things that happened last year are not on that list of highlights, nor would they be on the list of highlights for 100 years, because we can't record every time love is shown, every quiet and comforting conversation, Every time a hurting friend is held in a person's arms, we don't list the prayers that we have prayed when we are alone with God. It doesn't mention the encouragement given to help someone along the road of life. And indeed, all of us in the church, not just those who are standing, are involved in those things. It doesn't explain the steps of faith people have taken. There's so much that this list cannot record. Things which really do make a difference in people's lives. And why? Because God loves us. And God loves our community. And He loves us being involved in these things. You see, in essence, Jesus' mission, being sent to the world by God to redeem the people of the world, is carried on by the people of His church, who Jesus in turn has sent out into the world. Jesus has said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And when you step out through the doors, you are being sent by Christ into the world, each and every one of us. And seeing the great need in the world, Jesus, we read of Him saying, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." And the harvest field is still around us, and it's still there. And Jesus still wants to send people to it. And in the Great Commission, He commanded us through His disciples to go and make disciples. And in Acts, we read, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is about the people God loves. It includes us, but it's more than just us. It's the people of our community and our city. And it is the people of our world. And we might paraphrase this last verse to read, "You go be my witnesses in Mount Eden, in Epsom, in Auckland, and to the ends of the earth." You see, in order to fulfill God's plan, we need to respond to the command of Jesus sending us out into the world, where we are called to serve together, where we're called to be a family who act in the interest of each other as we serve God, to be like a body, each part different, but each part complementing the other. And the Apostle Paul commands, God spoke through him, commanding us, "Give yourself to God as a spiritual act of worship and live to please God." And then Paul expands us using the image of a body. What does it mean to give ourselves to God? Well, it's to use the gifts that God has given to us, each one functioning different, using their gifts in complementary ways. So Bill Hybels, who's a significant church leader in our day, paraphrases this and says, "Those with gifts of serving should serve. Teachers should teach. Encouragers should encourage. Givers should give. Leaders should lead." And we could expand this out to the gifts that God has given you, where those who have gifts of help should help, with music should play and sing, hospitality should show people care and invite them over and give them meals. People with faith and evangelism should use those gifts in the life of the church. And then in Ephesus, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul gives another list of gifts, and he says the reason why these have been given. These have been given, he says, to prepare you. And all of us together, these have been given to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. It doesn't get built up unless we use these works, these gifts together in service of God, so that we may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants us all to play a part. God wants us all to serve. Well, what difference does this make to us? Our theme today is serving God together in this centennial year. And so I want to invite you to serve. Find a way of serving. Might be through praying for us. Might be joining one of our teams. Join us as we serve God together. Because when we serve God, it makes a difference. It makes a difference to the person who's doing the serving. Anyone who served will tell you this. It changes you inwardly as you start to listen to God and you obey and you take that step of faith, maybe a risk, and you step out into the unknown with God and you serve others. You become enriched by it. But so also does the person who is being served. They experience God's love through what you are doing. And God is pleased by this, as he sees you doing the very things that he wants you to do. And it makes a difference. Each little bit makes a difference. Because they all join together and they help us as a church to shine more brightly and a witness to God. Because he loves us. He wants us to be involved in his family and for people to be able to see that so that they can also know and follow Jesus. In this centennial year, we stand in line with generations who have gone before us as we serve God together. The good stewards of the past have passed on the gospel from generation to generation until it has reached us. And we have this opportunity now, through service of God, to be able to share that with people of our generation and with people of generations to come. The generations of church life which we celebrate remind us of the Psalms. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And it inspires us as we look to the future, so that we read in the Psalms and it becomes the heart felt words in our lives. We will tell. I will tell. You will tell. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. So let's be that church. A people serving God together, enjoying fellowship of being his family, reaching out into our community so that they might discover the love of God and find salvation in Christ. This is what God wants from us. This is what God calls us to. He loves us so much, but his love doesn't end with us. It's not as if we're containers just to hold God's love for ourselves, but rather we are to overflow with that love for others. Wouldn't this be a marvelous year, a centennial year, if we were able to see more and more people coming to Christ, if we were able to serve in richer and fuller ways, if we were able to see this year as a year in which we bounced on that springboard of God's love and were able to fly out and to soar into our community and do things that really make a difference. That's the sort of year I want it to be. It's the sort of year I'm sure is on your hearts as we seek to celebrate this year. Let's just take a little moment of prayerfulness together. Let's pray. Lord, to you be all glory. To you be all honor. We bow before you. We humble ourselves before you. You are the God of the ages, and we, in a sense, are insignificant. And yet you have made us valuable. You've placed your Spirit in our hearts that we might know you and walk with you. We might find fullness of life with you. We might share it with others. Oh Lord, we are so privileged, greatly privileged, richly privileged. Oh Lord, we may not know or understand in this day, but there will come a day when we are with you in glory and we will look back and we will see the truth, the wonder of your glory shown through us and through this church. Oh Lord, do mighty things through your people in this place. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen, amen, amen. Ainsley and the music team are going to lead us in praise and worship to God.